Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Thank you very much, Yvonne, for that reading from God's Word. So I wonder what you would say if I asked you the question, how important are you within the church? How important are you within the church? And I would imagine that a number of you would immediately say, I'm not important at all. And you might add something like, I don't have any special skills. Well, this morning we're looking at what Paul had to say to the early Christians in Corinth about the importance of every person in the church. And you could see it as kind of a follow-on from Stephen's sermon, which we had some weeks ago. And I don't know if you remember, there was a very provocative title because it said, "Don't go to church." But in fact, it was like a two-part title because it was, "Don't go to church, dot, 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 be church, be church." Because church is us, the people of God. The people who've chosen to believe in Jesus and who are seeking to follow him. And the things that Paul writes to the early churches give us essential guidelines even today, all these centuries later. So we need to listen to what he has to say. So what was going on in the Corinthian church? If you've got your Bible with you and you look at verses 7 to 11, you'll see a list of ways in which God's Spirit was working through the Christians in Corinth. Paul says, "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And then he goes on to list some of the gifts of the Spirit. He talks about the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We're not going to go in depth today into what these gifts were, but we do need to note that they were supernatural gifts. And Paul's letter indicates that God's Spirit was working in very evident ways within the Corinthian church. So it was a lively church. It was experiencing God's power. But the rest of Paul's letter also indicates that it was a disunited church. At the beginning, he had to sort of plead with them because they were splitting into factions and following different leaders. And their attitude seemed to have reflected the culture around them. So the culture in Corinth was to admire wealth, clever speech, self-promotion. And it seems like the Christians in Corinth hadn't quite learnt yet to follow Jesus' countercultural lifestyle. Because Jesus had said to his followers, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." And this wasn't happening in the church. The wealthy people weren't having much consideration for the poorer people. For example, at the Lord's Supper, the wealthy people seemed to have been going ahead and having the feast before the poorer people came to the church from their work. So it's not the behaviour of people who've really grasped what it means to follow Jesus. We'd probably call it an immature church. And in that context, they would admire the sort of flashy gifts, the supernatural gifts, and high positions within the church. And they would look down on people who didn't have that gifting or that position. And so from verse 12 onwards, Paul uses the idea of the body to teach them what being church is all about. He says in verse 12, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." I don't know how you feel about your body this morning. You might just like to take a moment to tune in to what's going on. Perhaps wriggle your fingers and your toes. Have a bit of a wiggle in the seat. If you're young, you're probably thinking, "My body's great. Fit, active, I love sport, I love doing all the things I can do with it." And those of us who are a bit older are probably thinking, "Actually, it's not as great as it used to be. A few creaks here and there, things that don't work the way they used to." I have to do exercises to keep my lower back in shape and to keep my knees strong. And I think it's sadly the case that we actually don't appreciate how well our bodies work until they don't work as well as they should. And being aware of how our bodies work helps us to understand what Paul is saying about the body of Christ. Because if you look at verse 15 onwards, Paul's describing how ridiculous it would be if different parts of the body compared themselves with other parts and felt inferior or superior. He says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So even if some parts seem not to be so important, they're still indispensable. And I'm going to give you an example this morning, because I go to a Pilates class and we do an exercise where we have to stand on one leg, and I will now demonstrate what we do. And you're all thinking I'm great because I can do that. However, every so often the Pilates teacher asks us to close our eyes and do that. And I'm too embarrassed to do that in front of you. Please do try this at home, because as soon as you close your eyes and try and do that, you'll start wobbling and you'll probably just about fall over. And it was quite a revelation to me that our legs require our eyes in order for us to stay upright and balanced. They all work together. Everything works together. And so this is it within the body of Christ as well. We have people who have different gifts and abilities, and the body of Christ functions when everybody plays their part and we all work together. And we might paraphrase and say, if the whole body of Christ were preachers, where would the music be? If the whole body of Christ were cooks, where would the maintenance skills be? And if we're to worship God as well as we can, and if we're going to represent Christ here and to the people around us, then we need all the gifts that people have and all the different perspectives on life that we can each bring. And actually, that's also a particularly Baptist way of doing things. You may know a lot about Baptist history, you may know nothing at all, but in our setup, we don't have ministers and leadership teams that tell everybody else what to do. Any proposals that the deacons make are brought to the church meeting, and then everybody has a chat and discusses it together. And sometimes that can be quite painful and difficult. But very often, as we talk and as we share, it becomes clear how we're to move forward as a church. And at the end of the meeting, you have that sense of, yes, God was with us and God was guiding us through each other. And Baptists talk about discerning the mind of Christ in the local congregation. So it's the body of Christ in action where everyone plays a part. And Paul says quite clearly in verse 27, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part in it. So we each have a part in the body of Christ, whether we're an eye or a hand or a foot, whatever our gifting is. Okay, so you might be listening to this, and even so, you're thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I'm really ordinary. And if I had to choose a part of the body that I was, it would be one of those unpresentable parts. Maybe one of those parts that needs covering up, like a toenail. And if that's you this morning, I'm just going to speak for a moment about toenails, which is not your normal subject matter for a sermon, I know. But if you imagine being in a very, very crowded place, perhaps Handley at Christmas when the shops are heaving, or going to a football stadium and everybody's streaming in together through the entrances. And if you imagine being in that crowd and someone stands on your toe, ouch. But how much more ouch if you don't have toenails? So do you get the picture that even the little parts that don't seem to have much honour or much purpose, they are very, very important. And if you feel that you are very ordinary and you don't have great skills to offer the body of Christ, you need to know that you matter. You matter. Because no one else can bring your experience gained through your lifetime and your circumstances to others within the church. You have a unique experience of God because of who you are and what your life has been like. And in my experience, some of the most ordinary people are the greatest encouragers because of their faith. So if you can only make coffee or move chairs or give someone a lift, then make sure that you do. In verses 27 to 30, Paul lists different roles within the church. And he lists a great load of high-profile things like apostles and prophets and teachers, people who work miracles, have gifts of healing. But then in verse 28, he also refers to the gifts of helping. In some versions, he then also talks about gifts of administration, practical gifts that reflect Christ's love for people. Because if you don't make the coffee, how will people be refreshed? And if you don't move the chairs, where will people sit? And if you don't give someone a lift, how will they share in the life of the church? We have many opportunities for people to exercise gifts in our fellowship. If you've been coming for a while and you feel there's more that you would like to do, if you've been coming not very long and you'd like to get involved, then have a chat with me or any of the other deacons after, because there are many ways that we can serve God together. And just as Paul has come up with a few lists in this chapter, I've come up with a list of ways within our church that we need people to build up the body of Christ. So our list would run along the lines of helpers with children and young people, musicians, welcomers, fabric team members, home group leaders, tea and coffee providers, caterers, sound system people, computer people, social event organisers, people to bring flowers, prayer group members, preachers, members of the overseas mission group, fellowship group organisers, people to organise outreach, people to manage the church's finances, people willing to give lifts, worship leaders. And I'm sure I've missed some out. So there are many ways in which we can serve God within the church, and do find your role, do ask God where you can serve him here. And if your health or your circumstances mean that you genuinely can't do anything other than just turn up and be you, then please keep turning up, because as we've said, your experiences, your knowledge of God is unique, and without you, the body of Christ will be lacking. And the point is, isn't it, that church is all the work of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Because when we respond to God the Son and commit ourselves to him, we become part of his body. And then God the Father arranges the body of Christ just in the way that he wants. And God the Spirit decides who to give gifts to. And so not one of us can claim to be more important than anybody else or less important than anybody else. We each have a part in the body of Christ. And so perhaps the question for each one of us this morning is, are we playing our part in the body of Christ? Are we prepared to obey him? Not with pride and not by putting ourselves down, but willingly looking out for the good of others and having concern for each other. Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. And for his sake, will we be willing to work together in the days ahead to build one another up and to make Jesus known to those around us. Amen.